Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into Southeast Asia's digital finance scene. Specifically, why investors seem absolutely fixated on it right now.
Right. Our mission here is to really sift through the noise, look at the data, and figure out where the capital is actually flowing and, you know, why.
Yep.
For anyone investing, the headline is pretty stark. Private funding in digital financial services, DFS, it jumped massively.
How big a jump are we talking?
Well, it went from about, say, 30% of total regional deal value to somewhere between 45 and 50% just in the last year or so.
Wow, nearly half.
Exactly. It's a huge concentration.
Well,
tells you investors see DFS as, well, the main opportunity in Southeast Asia right now.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What's the foundation they're building on? The ecosystem must be getting pretty mature.
Definitely. The payment infrastructure is strengthening incredibly fast. I mean, think about this. All 10 ASEAN countries now have their own national unified QR systems.
That's huge for domestic markets. But for investors looking regionally,
that's the kicker. 8 of those markets now have cross-border interoperability. Systems like KHQR in Cambodia, QRIS in Indonesia.
Meaning someone from Indonesia can just scan a QR code in Thailand with their home banking app.
Precisely. Instant payment, that foundational layer, that ease of payment, it really enables the next level of services to scale up.
Right. And the sources highlight two key areas getting investor attention because of this: digital wealth and digital lending.
Mm-hmm. Let's take digital wealth first. We're seeing multiple platforms hitting real scale.
Scale meaning what exactly?
We're talking over $1 billion in assets under management, or AUM. And that's not just the super rich.
So who's driving it?
It's largely underserved communities, people moving from basic savings into micro-investment products, often offered right inside their e-wallets. The low fees and easy digital sign-up are big draws.
Okay, so wealth is growing fast. But isn't lending usually the big moneymaker in DFS? Is that changing?
Not really. Not yet. Lending is still, by far, the largest slice of DFS revenue.
So why are investors still so bullish on lending then?
It's about how risk is being managed now. They're not just relying on old credit scores. They're using all sorts of alternative data.
Like what kind of data?
Transaction data, mostly. How you pay your phone bill, utilities, your e-commerce spending patterns. It gives them a much better handle on underwriting.
Better data, better decisions. That actually leads nicely into the next big theme, doesn't it? This idea of embedded finance.
Yeah, finance becoming almost invisible. It's reached critical mass, according to the sources.
What does that look like in practice? How is it embedded?
Well, think about checking out online. You often see a pay later option, right? That's embedded lending, bundled right into the e-commerce experience.
Okay.
Or insurance. The shift is away from standalone insurance apps. Now, it's often embedded when you book travel or transport through a super app. A little micro insurance policy offered right there.
And the uptake is higher that way.
Significantly higher, apparently. Super apps report much better opt-in rates for these embedded products compared to trying to convert users on a separate insurance platform.
Interesting. So the money's pouring in, the tech is getting embedded everywhere. Seems like a done deal. But there's a catch, right?
There is, and it's a big one. Customer loyalty and trust.
How big a hurdle can it be if nearly half the investment dollars are already flowing into DFS? Seems contradictory.
It really does. Consumers, generally speaking, still trust their traditional banks more, especially for bigger financial decisions.
So loyalty isn't strong in the digital space.
It's fierce, but it's fragmented. Think about e-wallets. Most people use several, right? Often jumping between them for the best promo or deal.
Right, I do that myself.
Exactly. People aren't putting their entire financial life onto one digital platform yet. There's still some risk aversion, especially around long-term savings or major loans.
So bringing it back to the investors, that 45-50% funding share, what's the final takeaway? Why the confidence despite shaky trust?
I think it shows conviction in the monetization models themselves. The shift towards later stage funding deals alongside that huge share indicates investors believe these platforms, especially in lending and wealth, can scale profitably beyond just initial user adoption.
Okay.
They're essentially betting that convenience and utility will eventually build that trust.
So here's the final thought then. Investors are putting almost half their capital into DFS, banking on these models. But consumers, they're still cautious, especially about trust for the big stuff. What kind of, you know, deeper value relationship do these platforms need to build to capture the other half of your financial life? That feels like the real question for the next decade.